The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
And welcome back to the First Cut Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Kyle Porter. I'm Chip Patterson. Round two of the Memorial in the books. We've got notable missed cuts. We've got just the headline-grabbing superstars at the top of the leaderboard. And so much more to get to. Tiger Woods did make the cut here, so he did the good. He's at two under. We got a lot to break down. Kyle Porter, what do you think so far after 2 days at the Memorial?
It's been fun. You know, you look at events like, you know, even Colonial last week where the field's good but not great, and they just, it seems like there's just so much more happening at these events with better fields. Like it's so much more chaotic. I don't know if that's just me or maybe I'm more interested in some of the bigger names, but we got JT hitting balls into the clubhouse on 18.
Oh,
we got
Bryson on the clock. Like when you said chaotic, I was going to ask you if that's just an incident of this particular year seems chaotic because, you know, we've got Phil Mickelson going with the two drivers, like the divot gate. I mean, there was a lot to talk about that had nothing to do with the fact that Troy Merritt, K.H. Lee, and Martin Keimer currently hold the 36-hole lead at 9-under.
I know. I think part of that is like the broader narrative of just their the character development, like within golf, being really good. Like we have really good characters.
No, seriously. It's true. No, it's true. It is.
And so you've got like Bryson's like sort of a villain, and Kuchar's like kind of turned into a villain, and people don't like JT, and like, I mean, some people don't like him. I like him, but it's so I think that like all of that. And when you throw in Tiger and Phil and Spieth and all these different guys, it's really intriguing. You know, I think it makes for really interesting tournaments. And yeah, it, like just anything that they do sort of gets blown up into this, you know, bigger narrative. And so you've got Kuchar out there for like 10 minutes trying to get a free drop out of a half divot. First of all, like what? Wait, was it that bad? I mean, it's not like his ball was buried. Like, do we really need to take 10 minutes on that?
Oh, no. It was entirely something that myself, you, or anyone else would not have taken issue with. But
yeah, I mean,
it's Matt Kuchar, right? And we're coming off like not just the caddy, but the Sergio back and forth. And he's spicy right now.
Well, but isn't it interesting how like you see everything through like a different, like if this was 2 years ago and Kuchar was doing that, we would all chuckle at him and like, oh, Kuchar's, you know, he's so goofy. Like he's trying to get a drop and, you know, and now it's like, oh, this feels weird. Like this doesn't feel right.
I will say that whenever you're just holding up the broadcast in general, and I say broadcast, consuming it from like the television standpoint, but play obviously is the other thing at hand in terms of everyone that you're playing with. It kind of rocks their flow and their rhythm. The people behind you get backed up. Anyone that starts to make a big deal about anything, asking for too many clarifications or generally holding up the flow of a round, I'm kind of out on. Even if this was still when Kuchar was the aw shucks, gee golly, like isn't he the best? Even in that character, I would have looked at this and I would have been like, man, I might have said, oh, that's unlike Kuchar in a different way. So I guess that's adjusted. But man, I was not happy with that dominating so much of the conversation and the attention.
Yeah, it was really weird. But then, I mean, on the flip side, you had a lot of really good stuff too. I mean, Justin Rose is round today. Shoots 63 with a bogey.
Oh,
I mean,
he was. You got me on that. Every single now, I love 63 with a bogey. That's the best That's the best qualifier in a 63.
I guess it might have been Rose. I think he went out in 31 with a bogey. I like saying that too. 30 with a bogey on the front. So there's a lot going on. Do you want to start at the top with the leaders?
Sure. What you got on these guys?
I've got 30 seconds on this. So you could not blindly pick a more random threesome to be co-leading this tournament. Martin Keimer, KH Lee, Troy Merritt. 2019, I looked up their OWGR stats. They have three combined top tens. I think they have one each. And 10 combined miscuts with one WD in there. I mean, it's just, but here's the thing, Chip. Merritt's number one in the field in approach shots, and KH Lee's number two. So it's not like they're just, you know, putting out of their minds. Keimer kind of is. I think he might be leading the field in putting. But, you know, like if they get a little hot on the greens over the weekend, there's a real chance that either of those guys could kind of stay up there until the end. I don't think either one's going to win it. But, yeah, I mean, they're striking the ball really well, which is how you have to win these tournaments.
I think it was out there for the getting here in these first 2 days.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and Muirfield Village is interesting because and I sort of was thinking about this with Tiger, who we'll talk about in a second. If you miss those greens, I mean, some of the lies that you get around those greens, it's like I don't know how you even, like, I don't know what kind of swing you even make on it. You can't even see the ball.
Yeah.
But if you're hitting greens, like if you're dialed in, I mean, you can go shoot a 65, right?
I mean,
like,
it was soft, no wind, and let's go ahead and take this. I took those notes from Jordan Spieth's comments about his after he came out of there. And Jordan Spieth, you know, one off the lead right now, 8 under after going 66 on Thursday, 70 on Friday. We've had him on smoke and mirrors watch. And so I will ask you now, are you still going to hold out, wait for the weekend because of that weekend scoring average before you jump on board the idea that like Jordan Spieth, do you think right now Jordan Spieth is going to finish in the top five at the end of this tournament?
I do not.
You got.
I do not. He's 174th in third round scoring average, 202nd in fourth round scoring average. I got to see it, bro. Like, well, just let me see it one time.
Right.
You know, and so this week is different. This week's way different than the last two. And here's why. He's only made two bogeys. His big thing coming into this week, he's 114th on the PGA Tour in bogey avoidance. That's not good. Like, he's still... And that's, I think, sort of the misperception is like, oh, Spieth can't find his putter. He's not scoring. Spieth is fifth on the PGA Tour in putting.
I don't know who's pushing that. I view the world with the understanding that everyone thinks Spieth has been putting lights out. That's how he's been holding things together. That what's been missing was the ball striking, tee to green, approach shots. And I do think that there's been improvement in there, at least in terms of him being able to look like he's got his swing and his approach shots and all of those, like, make or break kind of swings in the middle of the holes. It feels like he's got that a little bit more in check this week.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's only made two bogeys so far. KH Lee's made one. So he's the only person that's made fewer than Spieth so far this week. And again, like, this is a place where it's really easy to make bogey. I mean, you know, it's easy to make a bunch of birdies too. I kind of like this course, by the way.
Just with it being all grown up and thick, and if you miss fairways in addition to greens, as you mentioned earlier, that it's just you're gonna be hitting some out of some thick stuff. You like that?
Yeah, like I don't know if the architecture nerds love it. Like I legit don't know if they consider it a good or bad course, but I don't know. Like I also like kind of the Pinehurst thing where if you miss a green, it just like rolls out forever. But, and maybe that's less random than some of the lies you get around these greens, like when you're kind of buried or not buried or whatever. like the Pinehurst type, like green, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like sandy, more sand based.
Well, the way they're structured, like if you miss a green there, it's going to roll out. Oh, the yards.
Turtle. Are you talking about turtle shell? Is that what you're looking
for?
Yeah.
And just no rough around the green. Right. So this, you sort of get help sometimes because the rough keeps the ball close. But also sometimes it's buried, you know? And so I don't know. I've enjoyed like kind of just the disparity where you can go out and shoot, you know, 64, but then you can go BJT and shoot a 80.
An 80.
Yeah.
All right. We can get to them in a second. I do want to hit like him and Phil just hand in hand in these first two rounds. All right. Big Cat, Tiger Woods goes 2 under with a couple bogeys coming down the stretch on Thursday. On Friday, it's even par, total mixed bag. His misses have been all over the place through 36 holes. It hasn't felt like he's been able to get anything going. What's the greater analysis on what we've seen so far here?
He's been fine. You know, the thing that I've been struck by over the first 2 days is his swing looks really calm. You know, like I think that so two things on that. At the beginning, I mean, for most of his career, his swing's been so violent that you're just like, oh, I mean, it looks great, but you know, how's your spine, bro?
Right. Yes. Agreed.
But then like in the last couple of years, it's at times looked really brittle and like stiff just because that's his body now. Right. But I don't know, man. Like I feel like just some of the three woods that he's been hitting off these tees, some of the iron shots that he's been hitting, they've looked really good. I mean, just really like smooth and easy. And he's you know, pounding three wood off these tees. I've been impressed by that. I mean, you know, Friday, it's like one bad hole. It's like one bad shot from 250 out. And all of a sudden you turn a, you know, pretty easy, not easy, but a pretty straightforward birdie into a 7. And you're like, okay, well, there's, you know, I could be T6 instead of T33.
Right.
So that, I mean, how do you grade that? You know, like I don't even know. Like that hole sort of erases. I mean, literally, it's a three shot swing.
Well, I haven't seen him. I think he's met my expectations in that he's in this tournament. He doesn't look like there's any one part of his game that is terribly out of place, but he's not contending to win this thing.
Not yet. I mean, he could go out and shoot 66 on Saturday. I think that's what he has to shoot to get in contention. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he's looked like, I mean, this is just what he is. Like, I think Memorial is what he is. The ceiling is pretty high. Obviously won the Masters, the floor is fairly low, but like Memorial, like right now is just what he is. There's going to be some good. There's going to be Tiger did the good, Tiger did the bad. And that's, you know, that's the deal.
Yeah. Cool.
He's operating from like a middle ground that we're not used to him operating from. And so when it's going good, it's going to be awesome. But when it's going bad, he's going to miss cuts, you know? And so like, we've just sort of moved that middle ground down from where it used to be, but up from where it's been recently.
Well, I was going to say it sounds more like the way we were talking about Tiger at this time last year.
What do you mean?
Like, I don't know. He's going to have some birdies. He's going to have some bogeys. Yeah. He's probably going to be about 1 under. I don't know. Yeah. Like how do we look for something? Like, I remember you and I on this very podcast, you know, almost venting about that because the questions and the excitement and the hype was all about trying to push Tiger forward to a level that he would not go on to reach until probably the Open Championship. But, you know, we were still being asked the questions because he was in contention. I don't know. Couple birdies, couple bogeys.
Yeah, I think the floor is still the same as this time last year. I think for me the ceiling's higher than it was this time last year.
Agree, but if you said the Memorial is what he is, it's a little bit lower than what we've experienced. If your mind goes to PGA Championship, the Open Championship, Tour Championship, and the Masters,
right?
But if you go back to where he was prior to all that, the Memorial's probably a little closer to that, at least in terms of your final performance on the scorecard.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, look, like even take like, and I start, you start going down this path of like, well, shot, this shot, that shot. I mean, so the out of the fairway on 15 on Friday, you're like, well, that's not good. But he also, look, he missed a par putt on 1 from 6 feet. He missed the bogey putt on 15 from 4 feet. And so all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, you know, he usually makes putts like that. All of a sudden a 72 is a 70 and he's 5 back, 4 back, whatever. So I don't know. It's just the margins are so thin. And yeah, I mean, I think that he's going to play well on the weekend and finish in the top 15 because that's what he's done all year.
And getting into basically, you know, all of these superstars that missed the cuts, what we think went wrong, plus, of course, our perfect finish, all that right after this.
It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to vuori.com/first. That's vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out, vuori.com/first, and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Okay, Justin Thomas, 7180. Tony Finau, 77-74. Phil Mickelson, 70-79. Jason Day, 75-74. Matt Kuchar, 73-74. Rory McIlroy, 75-71. Misses the cut by one stroke. Take me where you want to go. These are a lot of golfers that we like to talk about and seem to care about here on the podcast, and they will not be around for the weekend action.
Yeah, Kuchar and Finau were surprising. I don't know that we need to expound on them. I think just, you know, whatever. Phil's concerning because he and Will Gray had this stat. I thought it was a great tweet. He's carrying two drivers. Okay. He finishes first. I think he was first in the field in distance and like 105th or 103rd in strokes gained off the tee, which means he is all over the place. And I mean, my deal with that is like, I mean, his first shot on Friday off 10 out of bounds. Okay. You make a 7 triple ejected, gone. You taking that game to Pebble? How's that going to play at the US Open? So that's concerning. And then JT and Rory, I mean, JT goes, what did he shoot on Thursday? 71?
71.
So he goes 71. He goes 36 on the front and then he goes 44 on the back. He shot a 44 on the back nine on Friday.
A professional. One of the best players in the world.
Get this, with two birdies.
Lunatic.
He shot a 44. That's like that's actually what my scorecard looks like. 44 with two birdies. I mean, like legit, like that's what my scorecard looks like. And I don't know. I think that, which by the way, I've been watching a ton of golf. I love his swing. Do you like his swing?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's great. Like I don't know if there's anybody I'd rather watch from like 160. Like just take like a 9 iron
away. Send like it.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so balanced.
Right.
I don't know. He kind of got going the wrong way, and I think he just kind of missed. I mean, he was laughing on 18. The ball hits the cart path into the clubhouse on a chair. You're like, okay, what are we doing? But I don't know. I actually thought what I saw from him early on was pretty encouraging. I thought he hit it pretty well until the back nine on Friday. And then Rory just, you can't finish outside the top 100 off the tee. I mean, he lost like a stroke and a half to the field off the tee. So that's just, that's not going to get, I mean, he had to reload twice on Thursday. His 75, by the way, highest score of 2019 by two strokes.
Mm.
His other highest score was 73. I believe that was at, maybe at the Masters. But, yeah, he, which by the way, don't miss like a 3-footer on 17 on Friday.
On Friday when you're right on the cut line.
Somebody tweeted at me, apparently Jack Nicklaus said Rory's really been struggling the last 2 or 3 months. What are people watching?
It is all narrative and it all, I mean, like,
what the hell?
Mm.
That's incredible. 9 top tens, won the Players less than 3 months ago.
There's a Google Doc that's being distributed among the golf media that you and I aren't getting. And it says, under the notes, Rory McIlroy, bullet one, really struggling in the last 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, like, okay. I wish I was struggling like that.
With 9 top 10s out of 10 starts in the calendar year of 2019, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the number. Well, 9 out of 11 now.
Yeah.
But that's the first, so that's the first cut he's missed worldwide since the 2018 US Open. It's the first cut JT's missed worldwide since the 2018 Open Championship. So they'd been cruising. I'm not going to get super excited about a missed cut at Memorial. It's not great in terms of like just prep for the US Open, especially for JT, who hasn't had those competitive rounds. I don't know that I'm going to pick either one of them to win the US Open at Pebble, but yeah, I mean, whatever. I'm not super fired up about it.
And now it's time for the perfect finish brought to you by Amstel Light. We are trying to predict what the perfect finish would be to the Memorial Muirfield Village Sunday afternoon. Kyle Porter, what's your perfect finish?
My perfect finish is just doing a victory lap around this podcast on you on Monday when Patrick Cantlay wins by 7 on Sunday evening. I think my perfect finish is probably Spieth, like just going like 68, 69 or 67, 70 or something like that to win. And the reason, I know I talk about Spieth a lot, but the reason that would be the perfect finish is because then you'd have this massive conundrum going to Pebble, because I think DJ is like the obvious pick to win there. You got Brooks going for 3 in a row. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait, Spieth has dominated there and he just won a Memorial and he's kind of found his stuff, you know, like what do you do with that? So I think for not only this week, but also the broader golf narrative and specifically at majors, I think Spieth winning this weekend would be kind of perfect and create and even if he doesn't, like, even, you know, say he finishes top 3, but he keeps hitting it well, it doesn't make a ton of bogeys. I think that's a real storyline going to Pebble.
My perfect finish would be Ricky Fowler charging up the leaderboard. 69, 68. He's been playing solid. He's finding fairways and greens. He's avoiding too many big scores at Muirfield Village so far. And if he wins, and this is similar to some of the same narrative reasons that you mentioned for Spieth, I mean, what do we always say about Ricky Fowler? It's the Opens, right? It's the U.S. Open and the Open Championship. Those are the tournaments that he is suited to win. And I feel like he's creeping around there. And so my perfect finish would be Ricky Fowler. And I don't know if he's going to... We are sitting here recording on May 31st. Does that mean the mullet's gone for the weekend?
Oh, was it only through May?
Yeah, it was a mullet May charity awareness situation.
I don't know. It's like not like Mike Gundy's. You look at it and you're like, okay, like that, you know, okay. And Fowler's, you look at it and you're like, that's not good, dude. That,
it is unnatural.
Yeah, it's not great. So I hope so.
And that has been the perfect finish brought to you by Amstel Light. When you need a perfect finish at the end of a perfect round, grab an Amstel Light. All right, what else is on your notepad as we round things out here with looking ahead to the weekend?
Well, I had Xander kind of sneaking around, and he doubled the last.
I know.
Or the last hole he played. Which, by the way, why is Xander playing the front 9 late on a Friday afternoon? What's up with that tee time?
Well, it was there were a couple of, like, feature-ish type groups everything that was coming in on Friday afternoon that they were showing on TV was on the front nine.
It was weird. Like I don't, he's like a top 15 player in the world. Like get him in a, I mean, I don't know. That was odd, but he's just always like right there. Like he just doesn't go away. He's super impressive. I think that's all I got. I made a tweet. I'm going to read it to you.
Okay. Thanks.
And I did. Yeah. I did this last year and I think people found it interesting. So I did, I took the top 10 in strokes gained putting and the top 10 in strokes gained driving, on the PGA Tour right now, mm-hmm. and added up their earnings for this season. So strokes gained putting, 15.3 mil. That's the top 10 on the PGA Tour right now. They've made $15 million this year. Top 10 in strokes gained driving have made 27.6 mil. And so I think this, like, you know, and this is not, I don't know a ton of people who still think this, but the drive for show, putt for dough thing, like it's not, that's not a real, it's drive for dough, or it's hit irons for show and drive for dough. I don't know what it is, but putting's not involved.
No.
And
it's very, very easy. It's drive to put a wedge in your hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Drive to put a wedge in your hand and everything else will come easy.
Yeah, totally. I mean, your top 10 in driving right now, Rory, Bubba, DJ, Fleetwood, Rahm, Woodland, Cam Champ, Johnny Vegas, Jason Day, Keith Mitchell. They've all made over $1 million this year.
Keith Mitchell, not and Kevin Mitchell.
Your top 10 in putting, your top three, Justin Harding, Denny Duffner. McCarthy, Dominique Bozzelli.
Is Duffner in the top 10?
Spieth's fourth, DJ's fifth. Spieth and DJ make up like, or Jason Day and DJ make up half the money earned in the top 10 in putting. DJ's a good putter, by the way. How about that?
We've talked about that. I think he ranks top 5, top 10 so far this season.
He's sixth, or he's fifth.
Yeah.
Sick.
He's got it going. Again, like you said, he's the pick. Double.
Yeah, he's going to win it.
He's the pick. He is Kyle Porter. You can follow him on Twitter @KylePorterCBS. You can follow me @Chip_Patterson. Kyle, thank you very much.
Thanks, Chip.